Good evening. Welcome to worship on our Advent 4 service. And if you're a guest or a visitor or you're worshiping with us online, we welcome you and we thank God that you're able to worship with us during the season of Advent. Special welcome to all of our guests and visitors who are with us. We wear masks and we practice physical distancing as well. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, if you haven't picked up a keepsake ornament yet, we do that every year at Christmas time, and we have some of those available on the table back there. There's also Covenants for Membership and Discipleship that is coming up now in 2021. We have 39 people that have already signed their covenants and want to be a part of the Emmanuel Family of Faith in 2021. So thank you for that. Also, a reminder that there is no Christmas Eve worship service here because of time constraints, but we are having a Christmas Day service at 10 a.m. with Holy Communion, and again, will be safely distributed as people exit at the close of the service. This coming Wednesday, December 23rd, the men's Bible study will be in person, and we'll be meeting in here so that we have plenty of space as well. Year-end gifts and offerings, I remind you that our treasurer is asking that all of those be in, turned in, and received no later than December 28th, so please take note of that as well. And then also a week from today, we'll be having our annual traditional service of our 12 days of Christmas, our bell ringing service. And so remember to bring a bell if you plan on coming, or if you're watching and participating in worship at home, have your bell out as we celebrate the gift of Christmas, that Christmas is a season 12 days long that in fact influences and changes life for the rest of the year and for all eternity as well. I'll be on vacation from December 27th through January 3rd, and Pastor Geese will be our pulpit supply then on Saturday, January 2nd. Don't forget Monday, the 21st of December, Jupiter and Saturn. They're going to be coming together, and for some people, they'll be able to see a little bit of a taste or a glimpse of the Bethlehem star as well. Holiday cookies are being delivered. And of course, tonight we have our virtual children's Christmas nativity, and we thank all of the parents and kids who have participated in the making of this. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted, and so I would ask you to please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, God of our salvation. You promised that the one of peace would come from Bethlehem, to feed your flock and make us live securely. As we light these candles, kindle in us the fire of your love, infuse in us the gift of hope and the fruit of your word, and empower us to lift up the lowly and to fill the hungry with good things. Let your face shine on us and bless us that we may be saved. Amen. While the Advent candles are lit, I invite you to sing Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Son of God, Eternal Savior, source of life and truth and praise, Word made flesh with us among us, hallows all our human race. Our head who throned in glory for your own will ever breathe. Fill us with your love and pity. Heal our wrongs and help our needs.
We rise as we are able for our brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse us from the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In silence, we confess our sins unto our merciful Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou branch of Jesse free, your own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell your people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, blessed day, spring, come and cheer our spirits by your advent here. Disperse the looming clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. With your great might, give us your help, that whatever is hindered by our sins may be speedily accomplished by your grace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. When David the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 16, beginning with verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel acclamation is What Child Is This? Verse 2 in your bulletin.
Why lies he in such meanest state, where hawks and ass are feeding? Good Christian, faithful sinners, hear the silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce him through, the cross be glory for you.
The children's message will be our gospel presentation.
Good evening, and welcome to our December 19th, 2020 Children's Virtual Nativity, Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We begin with a picture from last year, December 2019, when our children presented the Christmas Nativity in person. It came to pass in the fullness of time that prophecies were fulfilled. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, an angel by the name of Gabriel visited a virgin by the name of Mary. Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You're going to have a baby. Impossible, Mary replied. I'm engaged, but the wedding vows have not yet been consummated. How can this be? The angel told Mary that it would be an immaculate conception, a virgin birth. With God, the impossible is always possible. Mary said, Yes, Lord, may it be so. I am your servant. Now Joseph, being a righteous man, when he found that Mary was with child of the Holy Spirit, resolved to divorce her quietly. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph, saying, Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child in her womb is Emmanuel, God with us. You shall name him Jesus, for he will save God's people from their sins. So Joseph took his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to Jesus. Mary visited Elizabeth when Elizabeth was pregnant with John in her womb. The child in the womb of Elizabeth leaped for joy. Then Elizabeth spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken and taxes collected. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went each to his own town to be registered. Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a distance of some 80 miles, a 4 to 7 day journey. Mary was great with child. Perhaps she traveled on the back of a donkey, or in a cart pulled by this beast of burden. When Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the guest house. A stable became the birthing place of Messiah Jesus, and a manger became his cradle. Gentle animals greeted the expectant parents. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. During the night, Mary's boy child was born. She wrapped the baby Jesus in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger cushioned with hay. The animals peered into the manger and with their constant breathing kept the baby warm while Mary slept. Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall. Oxen lowing, little knowing Christ, the child is Lord of all. Swiftly winging, angels singing, bells are ringing, tidings bringing. Christ, the child, is Lord of all. Christ, the child, is Lord of all. Meanwhile, out in the countryside, a bright light appeared in the sky, and an angel of the Lord greeted shepherds who were tending their flocks by night. They were understandably frightened. An angel spoke to them, saying, Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Want proof? I'll give you a sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in bands of cloth, swaddled, and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was an army of angels praising God and singing their lungs out. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. The angels departed, and the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this amazing happening of God. They didn't dilly-dally. They traveled with haste. Sure enough, in a stable they found the newborn baby Jesus swaddled and lying in a manger. They told the Holy Family about the choir of angels and the good news revealed to them. All wondered. All were bewildered. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned to their flocks and fields, glorifying and praising God for the good news of Jesus. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be? which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. During those days, a new star appeared in the heavens, announcing the birth of a Jewish king. Magi, wise ones from the east, who studied the stars, saw the king's star as it was rising, and they traveled to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, to worship Jesus. After arriving in Jerusalem and inquiring of King Herod where this newborn king might be found, they traveled to Bethlehem. The star they had been following rose and went before them. When it stopped, so did they. The Magi, also known as three kings, Balthasar, Caspar, and Melchior, entered the house where the child was, and they fell down and worshipped Jesus. Each king gave the infant king a gift: gold for royalty, frankincense for priestly worship, and myrrh for burial. Being warned in a dream, they returned home a different way. Simeon sang his song and blessed the baby Jesus and said to Mary, "Behold, this child is set for the falling and rising of many, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." What child is this? Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross be borne, for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. December 19th, 2020, the Children's Virtual Nativity, Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Rochester, Minnesota. We offer thanks to God for the children who dressed themselves in the garments of the Christmas Nativity and shared with us the story of the Incarnation, the birth of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Thanks is also offered to the parents of our priceless children who submitted these pictures. Thank you, children. Thank you, parents. Thank you, Jesus, Lord and Savior of us all. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Merry Christmas! And God be with you.
We continue with the singing of our hymn, Savior of the Nations Come, verses 1 and 2. Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. To be favored is to be filled with grace. Greetings, O favored one, you've got grace, grace upon grace. grace that comes in the infant Jesus, the crucified Lord and Savior of us all. Grace upon grace that comes to us on the third day when Christ, as he promised, is raised back to new life. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and to obey. Trust and obey. St. Paul, when he is writing his letter to the Christians in Rome, is very intentional and very deliberate about beginning and ending his letter, chapter 1, chapter 16, with this phrase, to bring about the obedience of faith. The gospel that is preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is preached for a particular reason, to bring about the obedience of faith, which happens when God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is glorified. To bring about the obedience of faith. Paul ends his letter to the Christians in Rome with a doxology, reminding us that this is all about the praise and glory of God. Believing and obeying. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy than to be in Jesus. We give thanks to God that the angel came to Mary with the announcement, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary sang the Magnificat. And Mary sang her praise to God, but first she said, "How can this be? I'm engaged, but it's not consummated. It's not completed yet. How can this be?" And it was Gabriel who said, "The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. This is the work of God, creating faith in you, Mary." It was Martin Luther 500 years ago who said that when you look at the visitation of Mary, you see three miracles. The Immaculate Conception, to be sure, but also the miracle of the virgin birth. And then Luther says, and the greatest miracle of all, that she believed. And believing produces the fruit of the glory of God, which is obedience. To bring about the obedience of faith, which brings glory to God. This saving faith in Jesus that God gives to his people freely, apart from our worth, freely to sinners that God seeks to redeem. Trust and obey. But I realize that the word obey doesn't come across to everyone as a pleasing word. In fact, over the years, I've had people say, when they're preparing for weddings, "Can we take out that phrase, obey? I don't like the word obey." Well, what is it that bothers us? Perhaps it bothers us because we see it as control, as someone who is dominating us. And we want to be independent, and we want to be autonomous, and we want to call the shots, don't we? But trusting and obeying, there's no other way. Is it possible to believe and not to obey? Is it possible to obey and not to believe? It was Bonhoeffer who was martyred April 9th, 1945, in his book, Cost of Discipleship, who said these two words must be wedded together, faith and obedience, trust and obey. Bonhoeffer, he said, if we believe and we don't obey, well, that's just cheap grace. And he said that's another word for damnation. And if we obey but we don't believe, well, he said, that's just works righteousness, which is another word for damnation. In other words, eternal separation from God. The two must be wedded together. An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a woman, a virgin, whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the only one of God Most High. And Mary said, what? She said, how can this be? But then she said, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to the will of God. Being wedded together, trust and obey. No other way. Paul begins Romans and ends Romans by shouting out the glory of God, the gospel of Jesus, and by making sure that we hear loud and clear that there is salvation in no other name than the God-given saving faith and grace, saving faith in the name of Jesus. Trust and obey. It was President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War who was meeting with some ministers from the North, and they were having a prayer service. And the ministers said to President Abraham Lincoln, let us pray that God is on our side. And it was Abraham Lincoln who looked at those ministers and said, no, let us pray that we are on God's side. You know the name Mark Twain. Mark Twain was visiting with a friend, a man who didn't have a lot of scruples, a man who said, well, I've got a bucket list, and someday before I die, I want to go over to the Holy Land, and I want to climb Mount Sinai. And when I get to the top, I'm going to shout out for all to hear those Ten Commandments. And Mark Twain looked at him and said, you know, maybe you would be better off if you stayed in Boston and you just simply put those Ten Commandments into practice. There was a missionary, and he was trying to figure out how to translate the scriptures into the native tongue of the people that he was trying to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to. He couldn't find a word in their native tongue for obedience. In fact, it was a virtue that this village of, well, pagans, unbelievers, rarely practiced. And so one day, this missionary, he whistled loud and clear and came running his dog immediately. And then there was an elderly gentleman standing by and watching the missionary's dog just race in full speed when he was commanded to come. And the missionary, in the native tongue, he said these words. I translated in English for you. He's all ears. You see? Suddenly the missionary had the word. He's all ears. In other words, saving faith, which is God's glory and redemption of his people, brings about obedience, or those who hear the word and are all ears. And then those words are put into action for the praise and glory of God. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Not blind obedience, not simple, well, I guess I'll have to comply. No, but this is the saving faith that God gives, the manifestation of his glory that produces that fruit in our lives. Trust and obey. Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Emmanuel, God with you. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm going to send thee one by one. One for the little bitty baby was born born in Bethlehem. Yeah, sending, commanding. I've been living with this text for the last couple of weeks, and God keeps bringing verse after verse and story after story from Genesis all the way through Revelation, where God keeps commanding. From the very beginning, God says Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Take care of what I've given you. But don't eat the fruit of the forbidden tree, or you'll die. Well, we don't always obey, do we? God gives us saving faith. He creates us in His own image. And sometimes there is obedience, lickety-split. And sometimes there is dragging the feet, or no obedience of all, at all. And so God has to make a promise to His fallen sinners, to you and to me, that the day will surely come when the seed of Adam and Eve, Jesus, Messiah, from David's house, will come and He will stomp on the head of the seed of that ancient serpent and destroy sin and death and hell forever. This is the promise that God makes in Genesis. And then we see the stories unfolding. When the earth is full of nothing but evil and wickedness, God commands Noah, who's living in kind of an arid place where they don't get a lot of water, to build an ark. Scripture would suggest maybe 120 years, certainly decades. Can you imagine what the people must have thought and said? But Noah kept plowing on. He was given the gift of saving faith. And for the glory of God, it produced obedience. And there was Abraham, 75, his wife was 65. They didn't have any kids. You remember what God commanded him to do? Leave all the familiar. Leave all that you think is security for you. Give it up. Go to the place I'm going to show you. Go. And I'm going to make you, well, such a large nation that people won't be able to number it. You're going to be amazed. And through you, all people will be blessed. Blessed to be a blessing. And he went. And in chapter 2 of Genesis, you know, when they finally, at the age of 190, they get the child of Isaac and he's growing up. And what does God command him to do? Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Take him to Mount Moriah, also known as Calvary. Golgotha. You saw in our narration that Mary is pondering the words of Simeon. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. We want to just kind of make the birth of Jesus into this pretty little story. And we tend to forget that he was born to save sinners, born to die. Abraham took his son up to Mount Moriah. And what happened? The Lord provided a sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, your Lord, your Savior. Throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures, we got Jonah, who was recalcitrant, who disobeyed, and God said, you think I'm going to take no for an answer? We've got Jeremiah, who said, I think you've got the wrong number or address. I'm just a kid, for crying out loud. What can I do? You've got Isaiah, who says, here I am, Lord. I will go. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. We've got prophet after prophet. We've got story after story in the Old Testament. The New Testament, John the Baptist is sent and he obeys. We've got Jesus healing people and commanding them, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And they come back and they're restored. We've got Jesus telling 10 lepers, go, show yourselves to the priest. You've got some legal requirements. And they did. But on the way, they are healed And what happens? 9 of them, they keep following the law, but they miss the gospel. But one, a Samaritan, he comes back, and you know what he does. He bows at the feet of Jesus and gives praise to God. And Jesus says, 9 of those lepers were physically healed, but one was saved. To bring about the glory of God, to bring about the obedience of faith. It was Jesus in John 10 who sent the disciples out into the mission field to heal the sick, to preach good news to the poor, to preach the gospel, to cast out demons. And then when they came back rejoicing, he said, rejoice in this, your names are written in the Father's book of life. And then at the end of Matthew's gospel, the one with all authority, what does he do? He speaks to the church, to you and to me. Go, make disciples of all nations everywhere. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. To bring about the obedience of faith, the gift of salvation, my friend, the glory of God from Genesis through Revelation, story after story. I could go on and on. There's so many. But in our Christmas narration, we remember the obedience of people like Simeon and Anna. We remember the obedience of people like Joseph, who when the angel came and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. This is a holy moment of God. We remember Mary, who said, how can this be? But she believed. She believed. And she said, let it be according to your word. Let it be. I want to close with a story. It's a story about a woman named Eva. Now, Eva had lost her husband 6 months earlier. Stephen had died of cancer. And so she knew sorrow, but she also knew the joy of the Lord because, you see, at the age of 15, she and her husband had first met, and they'd done everything together in the Lord. I mean, they raised 4 kids together. They built a business and lost a business together. They suffered through the trials of illness together. Everything in the Lord together. And she had a friend, Rhonda. And Rhonda was suffering too. Rhonda quit her job. And then she was also going to school, nursing training. And she had to put it all on hold because her father was dying. And even though she was fearing for the loss of her father, the bigger issue was because her father had never been in church, was not a Christian, did not believe in Jesus, and she wasn't worried just about his physical health and his mortality of his dying. She was concentrating on eternity. And so every day, Eva was praying for Rhonda and for her father, and then, because there was no church or pastor involved, Rhonda said, Eva, will you come and visit my dad, please? I'm concerned about his eternity, with God or without God. Well, Eva's wounds were still fresh. And she thought, God, why me? Send somebody else. Why me? But she went. And as she was walking down the driveway, the gravel driveway, she said, Lord, let's do it. I'm your servant. Let it be according to your will. Rang the doorbell, went in. Rhonda showed her into the room where her father was. Eva went in, sat beside him. She was surprised at how frail he was. And then, as she sat, she thought she should introduce herself. So she said, you don't know me, you didn't know my husband, but I lost them 6 months ago. And all of a sudden, this frail man, he sat up in bed, and he got kind of shiny, you know, almost like, well, the manifestation of God's glory. And so he started to sing praises. He said, I see your husband Steve, and he's next to Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise him. Glory to God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He was going on in praises. And here is his daughter outside in the hall just weeping. Hard to believe what she's experiencing and hearing. And Eva knew that Walter, Rhonda's father, had never met her husband and didn't know him. How could this be? How can this be? With God, nothing is impossible. Do you see? With God, nothing is impossible. Three days later, Walter died. But he came to Christ, or shall we say, Christ came to him, manifested his glory, produced the obedience of faith, saving faith in Jesus. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy, to be filled with eternal joy, than to trust and to obey. Yes, an angel came to Mary, came to Joseph. God's word comes to us. Christmas. I mean, it's only a few days away, the celebration this year. Next Friday morning here, we'll gather. Online or in person. Many will gather in person or online virtually to celebrate the birth of the Nativity of Jesus on Christmas Eve. There's no other way than Jesus. Christ was born to save sinners. And so Jesus, the sent one, continues to send us so that you and I, ambassadors for Jesus, like Eva, in her grief and sorrow, bringing the good news of great joy to someone who is lost and to someone who is found for all eternity. God bless you, my friends, in your saving faith, in your giving glory to God, in your fruit bearing, in your obedience of faith. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with us in singing Savior of the Nations Come, verses 3, 4, and 5.
Faith now abides. Glory.
the Son of King. Glory to the Spirit be, now and through eternity.
We rise as we are able for our confession of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation, may be seated. I remind you that we are not physically sharing the peace here, but please do that with others virtually or on the phone, through letters and cards. Lots of ways you can do that. Also with our sharing of our tithes and our offerings. The basket is in the bath, but we're not passing the plates. And also, if you are supporting Emmanuel, we give you thanks for that and for the work that God does. There's lots of ways to support the congregation, online giving, etc. So thank you for the ministry you do and the support you give not only here, but elsewhere as well. We continue then with our closing prayers.
Let us pray to the Lord on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. O come, Emmanuel, that the church, your people Israel, and the whole world may rejoice in the splendor of your appearing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O wisdom proceeding from the mouth of the Most High, fill the church with your spirit. Sustain and order its preaching and its works of charity, especially in the presence of its enemies, according to your most holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O bright and morning star, you gladden the hearts of those who sit in darkness. Shine upon all who are overwhelmed by grief, despair, doubt, anger, confusion, hatred, sickness, or unbelief, and those we name before you.
Gracious Father, we have so many that we are bringing before you tonight, others that are silently brought before you. We pray for Nancy Webster. We pray, Lord, for Paul and Dira Landry. We pray your blessings upon Doug Schumer, upon Bob and Marcia Harms, upon Michael John Vandewalker, and Pastor Mel Harris. Be with James Putio. Be with Kelly and Jay Stoyles, O Lord. Be with Daryl and Letha Bothan, and with Jude Ledebure. We pray your mercy, Lord, upon the family of Bertha Olson as they grieve her loss and her arrival in heaven being their celebration and joy. We pray also, Lord, for those who grieve like David Deacon Joyner in the loss of his wife, Pam. We pray for Bishop John Bradowski and for Julie Blanchard. We pray for Barbara Stephenson and for Joey Boncado, for McKenna Studer, for Mark Hayseth. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon Lynn Kelleher and Brian Belter and Karen Peterson and Becky Ottman We pray for Donna Delefson. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your continued healing for your servants. These people, Lord, and all that we're naming before you now, we pray for your mercy and your grace, saving faith and the obedience of faith.
Come with healing and lead them into the brightness of your holy love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Prepare the hearts of our children for the coming of their dear Savior. Protect and bless them, and help us teach them to love Jesus and to trust and obey him always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously answer our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our going forth song, one verse of the tune, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come, dear child of Mary, come. God's word made flesh within our earthly home. Love stir within the womb of night. Revenge and hatred put to flight. Rejoice,
take heart and do not fear.
God's chosen one, Emmanuel, draws
near. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.